Hi again, everyone. This is Lindsay, and I want to welcome my special guest tonight, Dr. Carol Look. Carol's a good friend of mine and an EFT master. She's also a success and abundance coach in the energy psychology field, of which we're all a part. But her specialty is inspiring clients to attract abundance into their lives by using EFT in the law of attraction. And it's important that people eliminate limiting beliefs and release their resistance so they can build prosperity consciousness. That's something Carol is really good at. Before becoming an EFT master, Carol was trained as a clinical social worker and earned her doctoral degree in clinical hypnotherapy. Now, she's got a lot of things going on, and I'm going to have her tell you about those in a few minutes, and we're going to talk about abundance, prosperity, and the law of attraction because it's close to both of our hearts. So with that, I want you to welcome Carol Look, my good friend, EFT master, and therapist extraordinaire. Carol, say hi.
Hi, Lindsay. How are you?
I'm great, and I'm really happy to have you as a guest on the show.
Thank you. Love talking about this topic with you.
Yeah, it's just one of my favorites, and it seems to be big right now because people have such challenges in attracting abundance. Everybody's in the survival mode, trying to keep their job and or not get in more debt. You know, they're focusing on the problem instead of where they want to be, and you and I know that. Just where that gets us, just worse.
Lindsay? Lindsay?
Barton, did I lose you?
Yes.
What happened?
That was very strange. I'm not sure.
Oh. Well, I'll just repeat that. You just start telling us a little. Let's just talk about it. We'll see where this goes. I know people are interested in abundance. Why don't you just give a little background? How did you get so involved in this particular issue into attracting what you want?
Well, you know, I was working with EFT with a lot of addiction issues, weight loss, and quit smoking, and I found that everybody had similar issues, limiting beliefs, in their financial worlds, and they were anxious about money, and they had trouble from their past around money with their families. And so I started transferring the EFT skills over to working with abundance, and it was really fun to do. Then, of course, I was doing it all myself, and I wrote my book about it, and I practiced all these EFT techniques and all these law of attraction games together and found, to me, what was really a key to turn the door that made it so easy, because I know I struggled for years. Mm-hmm. I know people struggle for years in trying to fix their finances. And the combination, and you do this too, the combination of EFT and Law of Attraction, I don't know a better match.
Yeah.
It's incredible. But what I start with, which really changed it for me, was telling people that abundance is a feeling, not a dollar amount in your bank account.
Because
mm-hmm. what people do is they chase the new job, they chase the new project, and that come from is one of scarcity. I don't have enough, therefore, let's do X, Y, or Z. So when you figure out, and when I figured out that abundance is a feeling that you can access, it changes everything. And it takes a lot of patience, and I'm not a patient person, but I really needed to change what was going on. So I, you know, worked on that part of it, that abundance is a feeling and a vibration, and then used EFT on my anxiety about money and on my beliefs. I'm not allowed to make more than X dollars. It's not okay to stand out. It's not okay to shine. What's going to happen if I leapfrog over people who are on my same level? What's going to happen if my book gets published? You know, a lot of anxieties, and what am I going to do with all the money? You know, I came from a family that didn't, you know, what do you do with all those beliefs? And quite simply, what you need to do is tap on them until they don't grab you.
Yeah, and they do. A friend of mine says, you know, those beliefs, you don't have beliefs and fears. They have you.
Right.
And that's so true. And one of the things, I want to go back to what you said about abundance being a feeling. I remember in one of your workshops, you were saying abundance isn't just about money. It's abundance about your health and relationships and your career and every other and joy and other aspects of your life. But we most people tend to equate it with how much money they have or getting rid of their debt. So here's a question I get, and you must get it all the time. How do I feel abundant when I look around me and see this clutter and the mess in my life and my relationship going down the tubes? How can I feel abundant when I don't have not only do I not have mm-hmm. money coming in, I'm in debt? So that it's that part that sticks people, as you know. And they go, well, I'm working on the law of attraction. I want this.
You need to stay away from the topic of money. It's too loaded. It is too loaded for all of us. So you have to find a way to feel abundant. You can't get rich when you feel poor.
Yeah.
So you have to find a way to feel abundant and be like, yes, but my bank account. Okay, so where do you feel abundant? Well, when I play with a dog, I feel abundant. Oh, we've got something. When I play with my niece or nephew, I feel abundant. When I go out to nature and I'm walking in the park, oh, so you've got to find ways to feel abundant and do a gratitude list about it or talk about nature or wherever you feel good, because when we get trapped on the money treadmill, it brings us down because it's, as I said, it's got such a charge on it from our families, from society, this idea that there's not enough to go around. So if we can get off that topic, then we change our vibration. So let's say we're playing with a dog, right? Let's say we're reading a wonderful new book, right? You change your vibration, and at the moment that you change your vibration, you change what the law of attraction is giving you.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, yes, but I'm not worried about my bills, or I am worried about my bills. Yeah, the bills, you've got to get off of that, except that I do a great exercise for people where, excuse me, I ask them to put the bills on the table, we can tap on this later, and feel the anxiety and then tap on it.
That's good.
So that it becomes a bill and not the end of the world, the end of your paycheck, the end of everything. Because if you don't change the stress level or the anxiety level around money, you can't get more.
Absolutely.
You cannot. Yes, but my life is poor. I know we're not disputing that. But if you do not change the stress and anxiety level around your money and around what it looks like, what it sounds like, what the word sounds like to you, money, cash, finances, if you can't change that charge, you're going to muck it up, right? You're going to be in there and pulling down the vibration around money.
And it is so true. So here I'm going to pretend like this is what clients do. You tell them that, which I've done, they come right smack back and say, just like you said, yeah, but how do I do that? I mean, well, we're going to tap on that right now. Let's tap on some of those negative things. But how do I feel better? How do I get the money? That's what I need. They don't want to hear that, you know, petting your cat or your dog or playing with children, or it's sort of like, yeah, but I still don't have the money. Kumbaya, and I still have these bills. I'm going to get kicked out of my house. And you hear that panic in their
mm-hmm,
voice.
Mm-hmm. And they must get the panic down.
Right.
They must get the panic down. They must do law of attraction games. That's how I turned it around.
Tell me one of your favorite law of attraction games.
I do my favorite list right now, it changes every couple of months. My favorite list is, I love it when, and then you fill in the blank. And when you're writing, I love it when, what, I get a good night's sleep. I love it when I go out to dinner with a friend. I love it when the weather is that perfect temperature. Not about money. Right? But when you say a list of I love it when's, you can't be in a bad mood.
That is great. That's such a simple thing.
And people don't do it. So,
yeah,
so I make myself do a lot of these things. So an appreciation list, what do I love about my life? I love it when.
Because people say, I want to have this, I don't have it, and it puts them right back into the bad place. But saying, I love it when, different than a gratitude list,
yes, yes.
It gets them absolutely in the moment right then.
Yes. And the thank you universe. Now, I ask people to write these down, and they can either tap while they're doing them or just do a written exercise. Don't type on your computer. It seems to be better when you're translating from your brain to your arm to your hand to the pen to paper.
Mm-hmm.
Write down, thank you, universe, for bringing me, and fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
And make it something that you want, but you don't have yet, but act as if it's already here. Thank you, universe, for bringing me the perfect, what, book contract. Thank you, universe, for bringing me the fullest workshop I've ever had. Thank you, universe, for bringing me the ideal partner. Thank you, universe, for, and you act as if it's already there.
Mm-hmm.
And then that stirs up the feelings. It's like a lot of my free newsletters, I have people go into the future and bring it back into the current, your current present life. You've got to practice the feeling of being excited about getting what you want. People say, but I don't have it yet. I know you don't, but you've got to practice the feeling of it in order to have the universe, the law of attraction, look at you and go, hey, she's pretty shiny. She knows what she wants. She's all lined up and congruent with it. Because what we do is we say to the universe, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, maybe. I want more money, but I don't deserve it. I want more money, but I really shouldn't. I want more money, but there are poor people out there. How could I have more money? Well, my family didn't like money. And the universe says, okay, stay right where you are, Lindsay. No problem. The universe can't translate yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, maybe.
Yeah, it can't.
Right?
Here's the thing that people don't get, that you can have a negative thought. When you have a positive thought, I want this or I love it when, and you have a negative one on the other side, yeah, but I can't keep this.
Right.
What if I lose this feeling? They cancel each other out.
Yes.
So it's not like the universe is punishing you. It's not hearing the message. I mean, I talk about it like it's a thing, but it kind of is.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't get that those little messages in their brain, what if this doesn't work messages are going against them. That's what they need to tap on, letting go of those limiting beliefs.
Well, think of this. If you, every time you think of the word money and you pull out your mortgage bill and the electrical bill, et cetera, and you put them on the table, every time that happens, you feel this unbelievable tension and tightness in your body. You know it affects the law of attraction and the universal delivery system.
Mm-hmm.
We know that now. We really don't have to explain. We really know that now from quantum physics and all the work that's been done out there. If you could get that down, that charge down, so that money, and I'm paying my bills, and yes, and what's good about your life? Oh, my knees are working well today. That's great. Oh, I got a good night's sleep. That's lovely. Oh, I was able to feed myself tonight. Oh, I have a roof over my head. You know, then you focus on what's really meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand anxiety. I understand it. I'm not saying it's not true for you, for people listening, or that they don't have, you know, the bill collectors nipping at their heels. However, it's not working for you what you're doing. So at some point, you've got to try something new, and trying something new would be using EFT to reduce the anxiety, using law of attraction games, and just getting into the feeling of abundance in your life, even if the money's not there yet.
That's great. Let's give the people right now, I know they're listening, going, okay, how do I do that? So show us what you do. If somebody, let's use the example where they're looking over at their stack of bills, they just came in from the mailbox, and they say, oh, God, look at all of this. All right, so what do they do? What do you suggest?
Good.
How do they tap on that?
Good. So measure the anxiety. It's probably in the family of anxiety, worry, concern. Measure that when you look at the bills or look at money. You can pull money out of your wallet and put it on the table and see what charge you have on the word money and the substance, the paper.
Yeah, when you pull it out,
right?
And you look at that and say, God, that's all I have.
Yeah, right. And because of our families and society, we have a lot of extra baggage around money. So pull it out. Take a look at it. You know, maybe you have your mortgage bill or a bill on the table. Take a look and measure in your body, 0 to 10, how anxious do you feel about it?
Mm-hmm.
What does it make you feel? How anxious, you know, and locate where it is in the body, as we always like to do. And then we are going to tap on it so that it becomes more neutral, because anything that you have more neutral feelings about, you're not going to bog down with all this history and you know, baggage and yes, no, yes, no, what about this? When it's neutral, it's just green paper money, and it pays the bills and it buys food, but it doesn't become this be-all and end-all thing for you. We've got to get out of that, like, oh, I'll be fine when I have $1 million. No, you won't. You'll be you when you have $1 million.
Right, which is why people that win the lottery, 85% of them lose it in the first 18 months.
Right.
So, Carol, let's just do this. Let me be your echo.
Good.
And let's assume that I want everybody listening to this to go either pull money out of your pocket or wallet or purse, or find that bill that's distressing, or fold a piece of paper and pretend it's a bill.
Yes.
If you don't have one.
Yes.
Think about your bills. Yeah. Get that measure, see what
0 to 10.
Yep,
your
10.
How much does it bother you? And then we go right to the karate chop point.
Okay, let's go. Even though I feel anxious about money.
There's not enough to pay my bills.
There's not enough to pay my bills.
And it doesn't look like it's changing.
And it's not changing.
I accept who I am anyway.
I accept who I am anyway.
Even though I can feel the anxiety in my body.
Even though I can feel the anxiety in my body.
Just when I look at my bills.
Just by looking at my bills.
I choose to feel calm and peaceful.
I choose to feel calm and peaceful.
Even though the topic of money really upsets me.
Even though the topic of money really upsets me.
I deeply and profoundly accept all of me.
I deeply and profoundly accept all of me.
Eyebrow, this anxiety about money.
This anxiety about money.
Side of the eye, my anxiety about my financial situation.
My anxiety about my financial situation.
Under the eye, all this anxiety.
All this anxiety.
Under the nose, I want it to be more neutral.
I want it to be more neutral.
Chin, all this anxiety.
All of this anxiety.
Collarbone, my financial situation causes me stress.
My finances cause me stress.
Under the arm, what if I could reduce that?
What if I could reduce that?
Top of the head, there's a lot to be grateful for.
There's a lot to be grateful for.
Eyebrow, I love many things in my life.
I love many things in my life.
Side of the eye, I have a lot of gratitude.
I have a lot of gratitude.
Under the eye, it's true, there's not enough money right now.
It's true, I don't have enough money right now.
Under the nose, looking at the bills upsets me.
Looking at the bills really upsets me.
Chin, but I could change my focus.
I could change my focus.
Collarbone, change my energy.
Collarbone, I could change my energy.
Under the arm, I choose to feel calm.
I choose to feel calm.
Top of that, even though this topic makes me anxious.
Even though this topic makes me anxious.
Good. Take a breath. Good. So then you go back and measure again. And that's just a simple toe in the water. But if you don't clear that energy around the whole topic, your future money, your current money, the bills, who's got money coming in, who's got money going out, then you cannot communicate an aligned message to the universe that says, I'm ready for more. I'm happy with this amount. Now can you double it?
Yeah.
So it's and people say, yeah, but, you know, I do have stress about money. I know. Please reduce it. Because it's not doing you any good. It's like the people with relationship issues.
Mm-hmm.
They have such unbelievable stress about attracting a partner. That stress repels a partner.
Of course it does. And they also say, and you know, I used to be a matchmaker. Did you know that?
No, you were a matchmaker. Oh, you're
so funny.
I was a matchmaker
in the 80s. I have my own professional matchmaking company.
I think you should get back into that business, I'm telling you.
I love relationship stuff. But I would ask people, so what are you looking for in your ideal partner? And you know what they'd say? Guess.
Yeah, the job.
I don't want someone who smokes. I don't want someone who's too old.
Right.
I don't want someone who's afraid of commitment.
And I want someone who's unemployed.
Yeah, so what kind of person are you attracting? Mm-hmm. What are you getting? I keep getting smokers that are unemployed or, you know, too short or whatever.
Right.
I think, gee, what's the common element here?
Right.
And that was in the mid-80s. That was before I even knew the term law of attraction. But I can certainly see, gee whiz, what you focus on you don't want is what you're getting.
Right.
And it's the same thing with money. I just don't want any more bills.
And if people could change their mood in general, this is what I had to work on. I actually found myself with a comfort zone with money, and I didn't understand it. Why would I have a comfort zone around that number? It made no sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I never knew, growing up, I was never allowed to know my father's salary, so I didn't know numbers. We didn't talk about it. So I never understood why the number was there, so I just tapped on, even though I must have a comfort zone and a ceiling, I choose to let it go. Even though for some reason I'm blocked at this amount, I'd like to make more. And I just kind of played with it because I couldn't get a clear, you know, problem, so to speak, about why that number was a ceiling. And I just blew the roof off. And
so
it was really fun.
Telling us numbers, did you increase your income by 20%, 50%?
Triple in the first year. Triple.
After doing that exercise.
Triple.
Wow.
Well, it was part of my book and part of figuring out, well, why would I have a comfort, you know, I'm talking about comfort zones with people. Why would I have one? I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So all I did was tap around it because I couldn't nail it. So I tapped around, even though I must be blocking myself, even though this is more money than I've ever earned, I'm ready to earn more. Even though, you know, I'm able to receive all of those phrasings, but really I addressed, evidently, I've got a comfort zone. I've got to stop here. I've got some sign that says don't do any more. And then it just, you know, skyrocketed. And what was really funny is that after I had done all these exercises, so I was religiously doing my lists and my gratitude and my appreciation and my tapping. After I was doing all that, what happened is I had a sudden forward motion in attracting money and abundance and successes, and I got scared again. There was another comfort zone. I went, whoa, whoa, okay, I asked for it, but wow. and I had to tap again for being comfortable with the next level. So, you know, I have to do it once a year. I have to do more on because things keep growing and changing and progressing, and I understand it more. You know, I still read and learn about Law of Attraction, even though I've been doing that for years. It helps me to reread, re-listen, do my lists, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't get over this. You don't get over tapping, the need to do tapping because we live in this world and we have stress. And you don't get over the need to study Law of Attraction, I don't think.
Yeah, I learn something all the time. I'm learning some things from you.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm that's my field. I'm an expert in it as well. And I think I've listened to everything by Esther and Jerry Hicks.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I listen to the same thing, I learn something else.
Right.
So you can't, it's sort of like the internet. You can surf it all day for the rest of your life. You're never going to get all of that stuff.
Right. You'll never
it.
Get all of it. But I want to say to people listening that I was conservative. I'm trained as a social worker. My background is conservative. So this Law of Attraction stuff was just weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I really had to make this crossover from left brain, let's figure it out, to understanding energy and spirit. And sure, I was an EFT practitioner, but a lot of EFT practitioners are talking about energy, but they don't quite get it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I just kept immersing myself in energy work of all kinds, not just EFT, of Law of Attraction work. I really had to take some incredible leaps over time, and it worked. And it's what makes me so excited is that if I can do it, it's almost like I was so not from that world, so not from there,
mm-hmm.
that if I can do it and make such dramatic physical changes financially, I know other people can do it, and I do that in my workshops and with my products. I help people get there, which means they have to drop the resistance
mm-hmm.
and build the prosperity consciousness, right? It comes from inside,
mm-hmm.
and people don't want to do that. They just want to focus on the anxiety. I know that. It's a habit. I get it. But if you start building prosperity consciousness from inside, which is from doing Law of Attraction work, EFT work, tapping on any anxiety. You could tap on anxiety you have about it being winter.
Mm-hmm.
You could tap about travel anxiety. You could tap about anything. And when your whole system calms down, again, you communicate a clearer picture and vibration and desire to the universe about everything. You know, think of it in terms of static. When you are just full of static and noise, people can't hear you. You can't hear yourself. The universe doesn't understand what you're saying. Your message is not clear.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime you reduce overall stress and anxiety and feeling overwhelmed, you are helping yourself in the abundance picture.
Well, that's great. I tell people to listen to their thoughts as
yes.
well. That all of those little that little chatter that says, yeah, but what if this doesn't work? What if I can't do this? What if I don't keep doing this, do the same thing? What if I'm not doing it right? And all of those what ifs,
mm-hmm.
will I, can I, are fear-based questions. There's that static you're talking about. That has to be neutralized. You can't tap on it once because it's around. It's in the air. You've got to tap on it every time it comes up to keep that clear.
What I tell people is to tap a couple of times a day, but only for short periods of time.
Right.
I'm not a fan of the sit down and do an hour with yourself because I find too much resistance both in myself and with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, well, you know, as you're reading the emails that are coming in that are frustrating you, tap. As you're on your way, you know, and you're in a traffic jam, totally stop still and you're supposed to pick somebody up, tap. You know, do 5 minutes at night before you eat dinner, not because you have cravings, but because you'd like to enjoy a peaceful, quiet meal.
Yeah. Right,
so just little pieces here and there, because again, when we're taking the stress levels down, you're helping every part of your body and mind and spirit.
Yeah, the physicality too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know stress isn't good for you.
Yeah.
I want to go back to something that you said a few minutes ago to reiterate it, because it was very important, and it was when you were tapping on your own resistance, Carol, you didn't know what your boundary was or that there was something there, that you had a comfort level. You just tapped on even though there must be something there or might
be. Well, the reason I knew it, you know, people say, well, how do I know I have limiting beliefs? Take a look at your bank account.
That's
I made
right.
the exact same amount of money 2 years in a row. How do you do that when you've got a private practice?
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible. You can't mathematically do it. So evidently I had a ceiling
mm-hmm.
that came out when I was adding my income up for the accountant. And I went, wow, isn't that last year's number? That's weird. So that was the evidence that I had it, a comfort zone, some kind of block not to move forward. And this is why the tapping is so wonderful for people in any kind of sales, including the work we do, any kind of sales. And so I tapped on, even though there must be a block there, even though I must have a fear of moving forward financially, I deeply and completely accept myself. Even though evidently I've got something stuck, I'm ready to release it now. You know, and if then there were tail enders, yes buts of any kind, then I would tap on those as well.
So the key to knowing that you have a block or stuckness or a belief is the results. If your results aren't changing, there's something in the way.
I think so. I mean, and again, with relationships, with money, with your health. You know, my client who said, well, you know, I've been with another guy and he's, by the way, also alcoholic and also lives across the country. Well, you know, what is that showing you? Somebody doesn't want intimacy, because you wouldn't get in with an addict and somebody who doesn't live in the same, you know, at least on the same coast, right?
Yeah.
So you've got to look at, you know, what's showing up in your life. You know, if your finances continue to struggle, you struggle with them again and again, year after year, something's going on and you can't just blame it on the economy.
Well, that's a key. I was just going to ask you that. What do you say to the people that are just saying, well, yeah, but I can't get a new job, then nobody's hiring. I can't, this is just the way my whole family is fast. I can't help it because it's just part of my genes. Oh, sure, I could be big like Oprah, but look at all the help she has, you know, mm-hmm. trainers and cooks. And, you know, it's sort of like they look outside of themselves for the circumstances to justify where they are. Those yeah buts.
Right. So, and those were several limiting beliefs that are tappable issues. So even though I blame it on the economy, and we're not asking anyone to get a new job, we're asking to clear your energy so that on the current job, that there are some good things about, right? The current job is still paying your rent, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you notice positive things and that you do your best to serve while you're on the job, while you're waiting for the next one.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Right? So, but that's a limiting belief, even though, you know, it's the economy, even though this is the way my family is. Why would you fight so much for that limitation? If that's the way your family is, do you or do you not want it to change? If you don't want it to change, that's fine with me, but they won't be coming to my abundance workshops, right?
Okay, so there's a key point. Yeah, people do. Well, they might come to your workshop and get products, and they'll, just like people that are doing weight issues, well,
mm-hmm.
I've tried everything.
Mm-hmm.
So what keeps those people stuck that
right.
that say, I've done this, I've tapped, this isn't working for me, like they're
right.
the exception.
So I say, what's the downside to getting what you want?
Good.
What do you mean downside? There's no downside. Sure there is, or else you'd be closer to it or having it already. There's usually a fear of what life is going to be like as you change. What are your relationships going to be like when you get the abundance you've been wanting for 10 years? What's going to happen to your primary relationships? What's going to happen to your siblings? How about to your friends? What about to your spouse? Right? What's going to happen? Who are you going to be? If you've been the poor one, you know, and been, frankly, talking about it for 10, 15, 20 years, what's it going to be like if you suddenly, or not so suddenly, but you really improve your situation? And you use law of attraction, and then you have to talk about law of attraction. What's it going to be like for you? So there are usually yes buts. I'm afraid, you know, they come in and they say, I want this. I want to lose weight. I want to double my income. I want more workshop participants or whatever. I want to be better. And I say, but,
mm-hmm.
but the downside, or what's the upside of staying the way you are? And people will say, well, at least I know the situation, and I don't have to struggle, and I don't have to work hard. And, you know, because people, let's say, on weight loss, they will say, I've done it 10 times. I don't want to do it again. So it's, frankly, easier
mm-hmm.
not to. With the money stuff, they often say, I don't feel safe feeling, you know, and thinking that I could get what I want. So they spend all this time about what they want, and, you know, they talk about it and read books and go to workshops. But if they don't get to the yes buts, if they don't get to the downside, I won't feel safe, I'm afraid, what could change, what if I don't have any time if I double my income, you know, whatever the reasons are that you're more comfortable staying where you are, if you don't get to that, you won't change even if you tap, because the sabotage behavior will in fact be stronger than the tapping. You'll do the tapping, it'll work, and then the sabotage will be more important to you.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like part of you wanting to be right. See there, I knew this
yes.
wasn't going to work.
Yes.
Or I don't feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
So for our listeners, and since I'm assuming that all of you know the basics of tapping and EFT, all of these things, all of these phrases that Carol's using, when she says tappable issue, that means you stop. And once you write those down, and there's value to that, you tap on that issue or put the ones that are very identical, very the same, together and tap on those things. These, all of these beliefs I have about money, even though I have all these beliefs, and then you do rounds like Carol and I just did.
And you can take the amount of money you have now and maybe add $20,000 to it and say, I choose to earn X amount. Let's say someone earns $50,000 now and say, I choose to earn $70,000. How does that feel to you? And if it makes you nervous,
yeah. You
can tap, or you can write down the number, write down a high number on a piece of paper and look at it. And if it doesn't connect to you or makes you anxious, look at it, use the prop,
mm-hmm.
and tap on it. I mean, I love to have people write out checks to themselves for big amounts of money. And if they can't tolerate it,
mm-hmm. They
need to tap until they can tolerate the thought of writing themselves a check for $50,000, $100,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I love using props. So it's a great way to increase your income. You take what you already earn, add something to it, $20,000, $30,000, add something to it that's a stretch but not over the top. Like, don't add $2 million to it because it just won't make sense to you. And then make sure it feels okay, or you tap on it until you say, hey, I could do that. Okay. I didn't know how, but now I do. I think I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it takes the edge off this worry and I don't deserve it and yes, but, and oh, that's not possible. Because what people say is they say, I want to double my income, and inside they're saying, yeah, right. Sure.
Yeah, and I think that glass ceiling we put on ourselves is sometimes invisible. We don't realize it's there until we push it by adding that additional amount.
Right.
And so you can add 20,000. People go, yeah, that sounds good. And then you get to an amount, it might be 100,000 or whatever it is, where they're going, that just doesn't seem possible. I'd have to work all day and all night to earn that or whatever. And once in a while, it comes up very frequently, actually, that, you know, my parents always wanted to earn $100,000, which in the 50s or 60s or 70s seemed impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they only made 20. And so by writing down a certain number and saying what's uncomfortable about that, well, all my brothers and sisters make less than that, or my parents never did, or that
right.
helps them find out what that barrier is. And like you said, Carol, you may never know what it is, except that you have this self-imposed glass ceiling.
Right, right. And all of these, it's really fun to explore it because all of it is just information and feedback. So ask yourself, why wouldn't I want the success I keep telling everybody I want? Why would I have watched The Secret 3 times? You know, why would I watch it but I actually have sabotage? What is the benefit of sabotaging myself financially? And see if you can get at least 2 or 3 reasons that you're more comfortable staying where you are. And
yeah.
they may seem small reasons, you know, but people do that with every situation, relationships, weight, health issues, and money issues. People have reasons to stay where they are. It's easier. They don't stand out. It's not going to be scary. They don't have to. You know, I've had people say to me, well, if I have the money, then I can lose it. Right now, I'm pretty safe. I can't lose it.
Yeah, right.
Because I don't have it.
Right. Like, it's better. My stepfather doesn't want to win the lottery, $1 million lottery. My mom would play all the time. He'd say, I don't want to win that because I'd have to pay half of it. I'd give half of it up for taxes.
Right.
but you still have
$500,000. Right.
Oh, I don't want to give. No, don't want to do that. I'm just better off just staying right where I am.
Right.
It's funny to listen to people's justifications sometimes,
right.
because we have beliefs in there we don't know that we have, or we don't know that they're limiting beliefs, and it's important to tap those away. So how do you tap away specifically a limiting belief or fear, Carol?
I mean, okay, so you take the belief. So let's say someone presents to you, I believe it's not safe to get what I want. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And you can go 2 directions. You can either stop right there and say, measure how true does that feel? So that's what I do with limited beliefs. You and I both do the same thing with truth statements.
Mm-hmm.
How true does that feel? It's not safe. You know, it's not safe to get what I want, or it's not safe to double my income, or it's not safe to get my book published, whatever the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
How true? 0 to 10. Wow, that's an 8. Wow, it doesn't feel safe. Okay, right there is a wonderful tappable issue. Right there is enough for you. Some people would say, my limiting belief is I don't feel safe getting what I want. And I say, where did you learn that? Where did you get that? And they say, ooh, wow, I remember that's from my father, and I think it's about business, and I think it's about money. And okay, then we have a tappable issue that happens to be an event or something someone said to you from long ago, and that becomes another target.
Mm-hmm.
So they're both true, right? We always have history, and we have the current belief. The current belief often comes from history. So those, I would say those are two directions you could go tapping on a limiting belief. The belief is, it's not safe to get what I want, so you tap until the truth of it goes so far down, you say, oh, that's not true. I am not allowed to get what I want, but you may bump into some past issues with your family or somebody saying something to you, because you can't have that belief, I'm not allowed to get what I want or it's not safe, unless you have something that happened before. You don't come out that way.
Right.
You have to learn safety issues, and you have to learn deserving issues.
Mm-hmm. And it could be sometimes your parents always saying the same things over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mine always said it's bad to be rich. It's easier for, my parents were very religious, and it's easier for a camel to go through the needle
mm-hmm.
of an eye than
mm-hmm.
rich men going to heaven. And
mm-hmm.
all those things, rich people are evil and mean and selfish. And I didn't experience it, but them saying it, you know, I believed my parents. And I didn't even know those were in there until I started filtering it. And I, in college, went to work for a company that had only rich people in it, in the company, and I found out that they weren't evil and mean, that they were just like everybody else.
Right.
And I went, mm-hmm. I, it shook me to the core. Are
mm-hmm.
you kidding? They're just normal people. I could,
mm-hmm.
it was great. I didn't have to tap anything about that. It was just seeing reality. But
mm-hmm.
we do get that stuff from some kind of an experience, even if it's somebody telling you that. And as we know, Carol, through energy psychology and the biology of beliefs, that those limiting beliefs absolutely control us at a level that we can't just snap our finger and change our mind about them. We need to tap on those things.
I had a client in a workshop who said she didn't get it until we kept asking these questions. What's the downside to getting what you want?
Mm-hmm.
And what she said is that her mother would constantly say, well, you know, your cousins, the rich ones, they're, you know, they live in that part of town, but we're at least the happy ones.
Yeah.
Right? So this impression she got that, oh, the rich ones are, which wasn't true. Right? It wasn't factually true, but the mother was trying to make some difference and say we're better than because she felt less than, et cetera. So it wasn't repressed material. It wasn't this deep, you know, deep hidden secret. It was just secret. It was just, oh, how fascinating. She said, how fascinating that that's the message I got. And she had to tap on that wealthy people aren't happy, because she was afraid. She associated then being wealthy with being unhappy, and she would sabotage herself with projects at work, because she thought, if I get the money, that'll instantly mean I'll be unhappy. That's how our brains put it together.
Mm-hmm.
What we're taught, if you know what I say, if you grow up in France, you're going to speak French. Right? What were you taught about money
mm-hmm.
from your family?
That's just so true. And sometimes it is a big message. Sometimes it's a subtle one, but it's that lesson that we learn at some point. Just yesterday, I was listening to Maya Angelou talking about her childhood, and I didn't know this, but she was saying how she was raped when she was 7 years old, and she told somebody about it. That man showed up dead. You know, somebody went out and killed him, and the police came and told the family that man has now been beaten to death.
Mm-hmm.
So at 7 years old, Maya Angelou made the decision that her words could kill. And
wow.
So she decided she'd never speak again.
Mm.
And here, this woman who's known as the one of the most fabulous speakers on the planet, poet laureate, and has spoken in every event, was silent until she was 12 years old.
Wow.
She didn't speak because she had a belief if she spoke, it would kill somebody. And so talk about lack of abundance in her life. But it was all about a decision that she made. And, of course, we don't have, it's not always drastic like that. But those things are so important to tap away. It's not just something that you can usually just decide to stop believing.
It's another way to go in to find out what's going on is to ask yourself and ask your clients, what decisions did you make about money under the age of 18? What do you mean? Well, what decision do you think you made in college? What decision do you think you made in high school? What decision did you make at 8? And then you find them saying, oh, I remember my parents fighting about money so much, I didn't want to have anything to do with it, so I'm not very good with money. And then someone else says, well, they heard, you know, a family member went bankrupt and they were considered an outcast of the family, or everybody in my family goes bankrupt. But if you just ask that question, what decisions do you think you made about money growing up? Because, again, as you're saying, they can be so hidden from us. We don't know what decisions we made because they're our beliefs. So when someone believes that rich people are bad, they don't know it. They just believe it.
That's right. That's the truth.
They just walk down the street and go, oh, rich person, look, they're bad.
Well, we see that with racism and other things. If you just make a decision, you don't know that it's a not true. And people will argue, as you know, for their beliefs. It's not a belief. It's true.
Right.
I have this pain because I have bone rubbing against bone or whatever that is. So, Carol, do you ever use a technique? Do you ever have people put their beliefs all together in some way and tap them away at one time? Or do you
No. No, one at a time, and often one of the top three is the biggie, and we just delete it. You know, we delete the big belief, it's not safe to be successful, it's not safe. I can't tell you how many times it turns out to be it's not safe to stand out, it's not safe to shine. So it's actually not about the money. They're afraid of that they'll be out there and be then a target.
Mm-hmm. Vulnerable.
If vulnerable and exposed, now that happens with weight loss as well, of course, vulnerable and exposed if they stand out in their field. And I've dealt with, like you, with people from every field possible. You know, it's a fun thing about our work. I love working with practitioners, but it's wonderful to work with people from all sorts of, you know, different fields in this world. And many people have it. If I stand out, someone will be jealous. If I stand out, then I could get in trouble, and to which you would say, what does that remind you of? What trouble? And they say, oh, that's funny, on my first job. Or they say, when I was 14, you know, I love it when people come up with, you know, the early stories, because that's really the kingpin. That's really where it is.
Yeah.
Oh, I learned about money. Oh, that's weird. My grandfather said, oh, that's strange. I remember that teacher saying, or the teacher had an attitude about the wealthy kids in the class. Oh, whatever. You know, we've talked about a lot, we've touched on a lot of different possibilities. Unfortunately, the limiting beliefs and the limits we have about money are endless. We just need to find our own and tap on them and tap on the beliefs so that then we say, oh, I do deserve to double my salary, triple my salary, serve other people in the best way possible and make a wonderful living and feel luxurious and then find out what you want to do with all the money. You don't want a lot of money just to put it in your bank account. How are you going to help people with the money you've got? Yes, you can have a wonderful place to live in luxury. And how are you going to help people? Because money needs a place to go. It needs to know it's flowing in and out. My thing is scholarships for kids, because I was on scholarship my whole life, and if I hadn't done that, I wouldn't have been at the best schools in the country. And I love giving scholarships. That's what I do. Other people love helping out at a soup kitchen. Other people love donating time. Other people love donating gift. What are you going to do with some of your money?
Yeah.
It's got the money picture, law of attraction, needs to know you're not just going to hoard it and build a big bank account. That actually blocks, in law of attraction terms, that actually blocks the flow of energy around money, and it goes back to fear. People saying, yes, but I got to build up the bank. I've got to have a really big bank account, or else, you know, the rainy day bank account, which, you know, then people literally hoard it.
Yeah, that's true. That's I knew a guy that was multi-millionaire in the 70s, and he was just a miser. He lived in scarcity the whole time.
Yes.
You would never know he had all this money, although his business had a jet airplane that he flew in homes, different places. But he would go to lunch with somebody and split the sandwich with them.
Right.
Or, you know, can I have one of your French fries?
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever, because he lived in a place of, I might lose this. Yeah, but we don't know. I have it today, but we don't know what tomorrow will bring. And he eventually did lose it. He filed bankrupt. He did lose it. Then he was able to say, see there, I told you so.
Right.
So, Carol, if you had to give somebody, like from what we just talked today, three major things that are important to do or ways to be about maximizing the abundance in their lives, what would those three things be?
Well, the first thing I would say, you brought up another point, which we've already touched on, but I want to repeat it. scarcity is not about what's in your bank account. It's a inside job.
Mm-hmm.
So prosperity or scarcity comes from you. Right? You know families who've grown up poor who and the kids didn't know it because the family made it feel like there was plenty of abundance and plenty of food on the table, even though there wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you've got to remember that scarcity is from inside you, and so is prosperity. That's good news. It means we can change it.
That's
right?
So important.
Wonderful news. It means we can change it, and I've changed it, and I've helped thousands of people change it. So I would do the law of attraction exercises that people say, oh, that's cute, isn't that sweet, and they don't do it.
Yeah.
Right? Do the list. I appreciate, and name 10 things you appreciate about your life. Do a gratitude walk out in nature. Do a gratitude list. Do my favorite list. I love it when, and yes, it's not about the topic of money. It's about it. I love it when I don't have too many emails in the morning. I love it when the snow, we got 15 inches of snow last night in New York again. You know, and love it when I look outside and I see that incredible view of the snow on tops of all the buildings. So you make your list, so do the law of attraction, and then do the tapping on your limiting beliefs, your yes buts, your reasons you don't want to be outrageously abundant. Why would you not want to be outrageously financially abundant and healthy and happy with your friendships and in your love life? Why would you not love that? Oh, well, because then I'd feel guilty because I'd have it all. Okay, then guilt becomes your tappable issue. Even though I was taught I'm not supposed to have it all, even though I shouldn't have it all because that means I'm taking from other people, whatever it is from your life experience and your family becomes a tappable issue. So the tapping and the law of attraction, doing them together, you know I think tapping is the best tool ever in the world. I also think law of attraction, if you use it correctly and learn about it, the surface learning about law of attraction has actually hurt some people. They don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying, I shouldn't have a negative thought. Why am I tapping on my anxiety? Because you're already in that vibration.
Yeah.
You better tap on it. Oh, I'm not. Law of attraction taught me not to. No, it didn't. Law of attraction says don't wallow. But if you're already in the vibration of scarcity, you better tap on that so you can release it.
Yeah.
So the combination of the two, I mean, do I think people can do it just with law of attraction? I actually don't, because we're human and our thought processes are so strong, we talk ourselves in and out of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe we need a body-based, energy-based technique, such as EFT, TFT, tapping, to help clear the rest of the stuff. So the combination for me is just, the sky is the limit.
Right.
Sky's the limit.
In fact, they're so important to go together, because if people say, well, that have come to me that said, I've done the Law of Attraction, I watched The Secret, I listened to Carol's stuff, and, well, no, that's impossible, because they would have known. But they haven't tapped on a way, they're focusing, or they think they're focusing on what they want, but there's all this negative stuff that they have to clear. So just doing it alone, they end up with the result, the Law of Attraction doesn't work for
right.
me. If they only tap alone, and they're not in the right vibration, then they're not focusing on what they want. They don't get it. So together, they are extremely powerful separately.
Fast track. Absolute fast track.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really, it's impressive. But it's not, you know, it feels like magic sometimes when we talk about it. You can't do it for one day.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to, you know, spend a couple of weeks doing Law of Attraction gratitude lists, people. And people go, oh, yeah, well, I forgot. Forgot? It takes 2 minutes, and that's what people say about tapping, and I'm guilty of that too. If I don't get my stuff done in the morning, my qigong and my tapping and my law of attraction, you know, I'm doing law of attraction meditations. If I don't do those, I understand how the day gets away from you. You're on the computer or you're seeing clients, and then, you know, it's time for dinner. I get it. But you've got to make a commitment and feel inspired to do it.
Right, and, you know, you can do it. You can think positively and focus on those how I feel when, or I love it when.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime. That doesn't take time. You can be on hold with tech support, in the shower, on
exactly.
the toilet, at a stoplight, just walking from one office to the other, thinking about having the things that you want. And an element that I put into that truth statement, I have a thing I call the ultimate truth statement, is when they imagine all of the things that they want and the money and the abundance in their
mm-hmm.
life, how that makes them feel, because
mm-hmm.
it's those emotions that pull them toward that. That's what helps get them and keep them in that right vibration, seeing that in the present tense. So, Carol, what's the third thing?
I said the third.
The
first was just understanding the scarcity and the prosperity.
Oh, okay.
And the second is law of attraction. Third, EFT,
Got
you know,
it.
Use them together. I keep a notebook, just a cute little notebook from a store. I keep it by me because I love writing down ideas. I love writing down, you know, I get little boosts of good feelings, you know, and sometimes I don't. But I love having pen and paper close by. It's really, really important. And, it, again, they're the most simple exercises possible, and people will come back and say, oh, yeah, no, I didn't do that list, yeah.
Right.
You know, do it. And, again, I had to make myself do it, and do the tapping, and the results were nothing short of phenomenal.
Yeah, that's
phenomenal.
It is. And when you start seeing that it works, then that motivates you and inspires you to do more. It's why Carol and I are always waving the banner of Law of Attraction and tapping, because we get that it works. We see it with our clients and in our own lives. We want everybody to get it. And there's so much out there about Law of Attraction now that there's so many resources. In fact, while we're on that, Carol, you have an abundance of Law of Attraction resources on your site. Tell us about some of the programs you have going on now.
Thank you.
Up.
So my book is attractingabundance.com. I've got some workshops coming up. I think right now I'm at a workshop where I'm doing a Qigong workshop with a friend of mine who's a Qigong master, and I'm doing the EFT portions. I'm doing a EFT workshop for pain relief at Kripalu, which is in Western Massachusetts in March, and I'm going back to Omega. And I've always got different programs going on. I've just done a beautiful new set of CDs that aren't listed on the website yet. I'm Afraid to Shine, I Love Clarity, Law of Attraction in Action, and, you know, so someone could write me about them if they're interested in those. And I'm always doing radio shows, thanks to people like you, which I love doing. And I just love talking about this stuff because I've been there, I've been on the other side, I have struggled, you know, and I had to really struggle to change it. And I wish I had done it the easy way, but I didn't. I did it the hard way because I'm stubborn. But, once I got it, did things change. It took a long time, and it doesn't have to take everybody as long as it took me because, you know, I've got shortcuts now.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't do it, if I had known EFT 20 years ago instead of just 15, my life would be different, but it wasn't.
Right. And so we're here to kind of help people to pave the way and say, we've already been there, done that, know what doesn't work, know what does work, do this, do that, it'll work for you.
Yes.
And Carol has some great materials. I'll put those on my media page on my website as well, the links that are to her site. But the easy way, it's easy to find Carol at carollook.com.
Nope.
Tappingabundance.com?
Nope. Neither of those. www.attractingabundance.com.
Oh, attractingabundance.com.
Attractingabundance.com, where all the workshops and Twitter and Facebook and all my products and everything is there.
Attractingabundance.com. Okay, I'll put that on my site, too. See, I know it, and I got it wrong twice, so... Gee, well, Carol, I want to thank you. The hour just flew by because it's our favorite subject, and I feel like we could go another hour because there's just so much stuff out there. So I encourage everybody to use this. Don't try it. Don't think about it. Do it, and you'll see the difference.
And have heart. Take heart. Have heart. It does work, but you've got to do it.
Yeah. Carol, thank you so much.
Thank you, Lindsay.
All right, good luck in all your programs.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.